Hello and welcome to the South Carolina Lead. Yes, this is the Lead. You trust the Lead to keep you up to date on important state news, and we'll be doing that more regularly as our state faces the COVID-19 virus. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on April 3rd, 2020. Just so you know, some of this information in the podcast may have changed by the time you've heard it. This podcast is filled with South Carolina COVID-19 news and stories that matter to you, your family, and fellow South Carolinians during this uncertain time. Each episode is structured to give you the latest news up front, followed by additional context, on-the-ground reporting, and also your voices. Yes, we want you to send us voice messages. And we end it all with a little bit of a wind-down. Like I mentioned, we set up a voice mailbox to hear from y'all about your daily life, what you're doing to get by, if you're working, if you're not working, if you're at a hospital, and if you've been directly affected by COVID-19. Let us know. Leave us a one-minute long voicemail at 803-563-7169. That's 803-563-7169. Now here's our latest situation in South Carolina. Currently, the spread of COVID-19 is in the acceleration phase, according to Department of Health and Environmental Control officials. There have been 34 deaths, and currently there are 1,700 cases being reported in all 46 counties as of April 3rd at 4:30 p.m. During the press conference on Friday, Governor McMaster said due to reports of non-compliance, they are expanding the list of non-essential business closures in the state. These include places like furniture stores, clothing, shoe stores, jewelry stores, department stores, florists, bookstores, and craft and music stores, to name a few. You can find the whole list in our show notes, scetv.org/sclead. And that all happens Monday at 5 p.m. That's official Monday at 5 p.m. And we have a little bit more about noncompliance later in the episode. Also, McMaster issued another order that bars people from CDC hotspots from booking hotels and making short-term rentals. On Friday morning, McMaster settled another ongoing issue by directing DHEC to release up-to-date numbers of confirmed COVID-19 cases by zip code. McMaster went further by adding DHEC will provide the estimated number of residents who are likely infected and untested within the same zip code. He said, quote, providing this non-identifying information violates no state or federal privacy laws and is in the public's interest. It is my hope this disclosure will reinforce to South Carolinians the seriousness and dire necessity of staying home to prevent the spread of COVID-19. I spoke with Congressman Joe Cunningham via Skype on This Week in South Carolina about his COVID-19 diagnosis, the federal response, and local actions taken to combat the spread of the virus.
Well, I feel great. You know, you may know I came out of quarantine yesterday, and I was one of the more fortunate ones. You know, my symptoms were very mild, had a loss of taste and smell. And at the time that it happened, those symptoms weren't really even on people's radar as being an indicator of testing positive. But I came in contact with someone up in D.C., a fellow member who had tested positive. So I went into quarantine. And then after those symptoms occurred, then I got myself tested and found out that I was positive. So it's just strange how this, this virus can impact on such a broad spectrum. My colleague who I presumably got it from up in D.C., he went to the hospital for over a week. And myself, you know, my symptoms are relatively mild. So it just goes to show that there's probably a lot of people walking around right now that do not think that they have it, do not know that they have it, and just think that they've lost their sense of taste or smell through allergies or the pollen or whatever.
So I guess that's what maybe got you the ability to get a test, is that you had come into contact with someone else that had tested positive. How did you get a test to do that?
Well, you know, what we tell people, folks, is if you start having these symptoms and you go to, you know, the CDC's website, you can go to our website, cunningham.house.gov. But if you start having these symptoms, we tell folks the first thing you need to do is contact your doctor, or contact your local physician. If you don't have one and you're local here, you can go to musc.care. And they have a website there where they go through your symptoms. And if you check off certain symptoms, then they schedule you for a test at the local drive-through center, which is over here in West Ashley. And so that's exactly what I did, is I put in my symptoms, went through that website, and qualified for a test, went and had the test, and then got the results back that said I was positive. So. Mm-hmm. Well, look, you know, on Monday we called for the governor to issue a stay-at-home order. And for all intents and purposes, that's kind of what he did the other day. And you know, I think it's important to take a step back and commend the governor for making that response. It was a tough call for him to make, but it was the right call as well. So I think you have to give credit where credit's due as to that recent order. And look, like you said, the mayors are put in kind of a tough spot. Their job is to keep their constituents safe. And I'm a fan of home rule. I'm a fan of our local mayors, and I think they do a great job. And I trust these local mayors to do what's best for their constituents. I trust Jimmy Carroll in Isle of Palms and Pat O'Neill over on Sullivan's, John Tecklenburg here in Charleston, Mayor McCann down in Hilton Head. And we trust these folks to do what's right for their constituents. And when they issue those stay-at-home orders and then it's in conflict with a attorney general opinion, it kind of exposes these mayors to some legal action. Mm-hmm. And so I think what the governor's recent order helps alleviate that legal exposure for those local municipalities. So I was pleased to see that happen, and I'm pleased to see us moving in that right direction.
For more of that interview, tune in to SCETV Friday at 7:30 p.m., Sunday morning at 11:30 a.m., or online at scetv.org/TWISC. Speaking of the congressional delegation, House Majority Whip Jim Clyburn was named chairman of the House Select Committee on the Coronavirus Crisis. That means Clyburn will oversee the coronavirus bills that have already passed and also future legislation dealing with the pandemic. In a recent conference call, Clyburn said, quote, "As the coronavirus has spread, our healthcare infrastructure is being strained beyond its capacity. I am gravely concerned that things are going to get a lot worse in rural areas and low-income communities that are especially educationally disconnected and medically underserved," quote. In wrapping up this politics section, it's been a month since the first COVID-19 case was reported on March 6. So let's look at the evolution of the messaging from the governor's office during that time. On March 7th, the governor declared a state of emergency and put the onus on South Carolinians to take responsibility, wash your hands, follow the rules, and maintain good hygiene.
We will get through it by using our heads, by being smart, by being deliberate, by staying calm, and by using common sense, and always by working together and demonstrating courtesy and compassion towards each other.
On March 15th, McMaster and Superintendent Spearman closed schools in the state. McMaster pushed for at-risk state employees to work from home, something he encouraged private businesses to do as well.
Governor, we've mandated the closure of schools right now. How close are we to saying, hey, we just need everybody to kind of shut down unless you're essential employees to keeping things running? At what point are we going to get there?
That would be the worst case scenario, and our task is to try to, as they say, flatten the curve of this thing. That is to anticipate what we're going to need in order to keep the contagion down. And we know how to do it. And if we all do the things that have been recommended, we ought to be able to do that without ever having to reach the point that you just described.
On March 17th, McMaster ordered bars and dining restaurants to close and started limiting group sizes.
I'm prohibiting organized events of 50 or more people to be held in any state, county, city, or publicly owned facility.
On March 19th, McMaster told you to stay home if you didn't need to be out.
I'm also asking South Carolinians to use common sense. I've asked this before. This is my final request of these requests today, to use common sense, treat their neighbors courteously and compassionately. And if you don't need to be in a public space, then stay home. But we need the cooperation of every single citizen. If you don't need to go out, then don't.
On March 23rd, the governor again limited public gatherings.
I'm hereby authorizing, ordering, and directing any and all law enforcement officers of the state or any political subdivision thereof, in accordance with the South Carolina Code of Laws and other applicable law, to prohibit or disperse any congregation or gathering of people unless authorized in their homes in groups of three or more.
On March 26, Charleston and Columbia had passed stay-at-home orders, but while McMaster said all options were on the table, it wasn't the time for such an order.
We're trying to do everything we can do to keep business flourishing and keep businesses growing without putting the public health in jeopardy. That is the reason why that we listen to and count on the expertise, analysis, and knowledge of science, data, facts, and the professionals who make these kinds of understandings and recommendations for a living. That is who we are listening to and working with vigorously around the clock at state level.
On March 27th, the governor called for visitors from New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, and the city of New Orleans to self-quarantine upon arriving in the state. He continued his call for South Carolinians to follow what's already been ordered and requested.
I think our people are capable of doing what is best for themselves, their families, and their neighbors. And if they will follow the rules that are made, that are suggested and required, those required here, that are based on science, data, the experts in with experience and knowledge in these areas, and based on that and nothing else, as well as common sense. If they will do those things, then we don't need to have mandates like they may have in some other parts of the country.
On March 31st, McMaster issued the order to close all non-essential businesses, which in spirit is the same as the stay-at-home orders of several cities. When asked about how this order was different, he had this to say.
We are not ordering people to stay at home, but from the very beginning, we've been telling people to stay at home, recommending it. Everyone just about that's spoken here has said that.
And again, if you didn't listen to anything that we just recapped, listen to this.
Whether it's an order to stay at home, a recommendation to stay at home, a suggestion to stay at home, whether it's written, whether it's oral, if there's anybody out there that does not know that they should stay at home, then we've really been missing something. People should stay at home as much as possible. They're going to need to go to work. They're things that they must do, but other than that, they need to stay at home.
Listening to everything the governor said, he was trusting us, the citizens of South Carolina, to do what was right. Everywhere you looked during those past days was telling you what to do and what not to do. Everyone knows what they should be doing, but were their actions demonstrating it? Not necessarily. So, you know why certain people make it to the group of the survivors in the zombie movie? It's because they stayed at home, or they were in a gun store, or they were stuck in a coma and woke up 28 days later, or they drank all night in the Winchester, or took a train to Busan. Notice any trends? They all stayed inside. They understood if they didn't stay inside that they would get bit. Don't get bit. I mean, catch the bug. I mean, whatever you want to say. Or if you need this in a little bit more scientific terms, let's look at the latest Axios Ipsos Coronavirus Index. This week, 53% of Americans tell us they are self-quarantining. That's up from 39% last week. Slightly fewer report worsening mental health compared to last week, 30% versus 35%. And emotional well-being, it's 37% to 43%. So it seems like everyone's kind of stabilizing a little bit. Everyone's kind of coming to grips with what's going on. And also, look at this, worsening physical health has remained a stable 14%. So my tips for you, do some activities, space out your drinking, folks. If you drink, get at least 30 minutes of physical activity in before hitting the sauce. It's called work reward. You gotta have a little carrot. Mine is a giant box of wine. Numbers released this week show the country and South Carolina broke records for the number of initial unemployment insurance benefit claims. Nationwide, for the week ending March 28th, the number was 6.6 million. It's a doubling of the week before. And South Carolina saw numbers jump at the same rate to 64,856, which puts more than 95,000 South Carolinians out of work claiming unemployment benefits. As unemployment numbers have increased, so too has the number of people streaming into Harvest Hope Food Bank's emergency pantry in Columbia. I was there on Wednesday and cars were lined up out on Shop Road, which is not an entirely unusual sight right before opening, but their numbers have been drastically increasing.
It's crazy. It's a lot.
That's Taylor Davids with Harvest Hope Food Bank.
You know, the numbers we've seen, we haven't seen since the flood here, and even in Greenville too, of 2015. So, I mean, we're seeing, you know, usually we see anywhere from 150 to 200 families a day, and we're topping 400. Last week, I think we saw like 5,000 people, and I think we'll still see those high numbers this week, even on those 3 days.
I was grabbing B-roll for Twisk when Salisha Jenkins hollered at me from her idling Honda CR-V. With a face mask and gloves on, Jenkins told me how the pandemic has upended not only her economic situation, but that of her family.
And we're all out of work right now. My son was working for a steel company. My sister was working in a nursing home. And I was doing Lyft.
She gives me a look that says, no more. She sees things getting worse before they get better.
I think it's going to get worse, and I think that we need more places like Harvest Hope to help the people out.
Back inside Harvest Hope, Taylor Davids shows me around the warehouse where several aisles are filled with goods stacked up high. I spot Budweiser and Natty Ice boxes, but I was told that's just the box, not what's on the inside. Trust me. While we venture around, some workers are unloading a truck from Sysco Food Service. Wholesalers provide a good bit of food to Harvest Hope, and still are, but supply will soon get tighter since restaurants will have less supply. And the food bank already felt the pinch earlier when people were panic shopping at grocery stores. Another supplier.
We're not able to serve people, but it's not what you would get if we were not in a crisis. If you were to come here in a regular April, you would get more food.
Want to help? Harvest Hope accepts volunteers, food donations, monetary donations, and also has an Amazon shopping list. Again, absolutely brutal unemployment claim numbers. If you have a job, be grateful. Also, be aware that many others don't, and people are struggling. Not everyone has the luxury of complaining about being bored and out of Netflix to watch. I'm not trying to guilt y'all, but let's all check our privilege if we're lucky enough to have it. Again, the Economic Policy Institute predicts nearly 20 million Americans will be out of work by July. On Thursday, I had a great conversation via Skype with State Superintendent of Education Molly Spearman about the current challenges facing the education system in this time of COVID-19, whether schools will remain closed for the school year, and the new priorities she'll be fighting for that have come to light from this crisis.
We're looking at the calendar right now. Schools are out for April. Neighboring state of Georgia just said that they're going to be out for the rest of the year, the school year, that is. Any thoughts on what we might be seeing? Is that going to be happening here in South Carolina?
Well, certainly we're evaluating that. And just a few weeks ago, I would have said, absolutely, we're going to be back in school in May. Things are going to pass. But looking at the situation now, I would say there's a chance that we may not be back. There's no official decision on that. And Governor McMaster and I talk. We want to use good data. We don't want to make the decision before it's absolutely necessary. So we've got another week or two, maybe three, that we can wait and see how things are going and make that decision. If I were a betting woman right now, it's not looking good. But hopefully things will be under control and we can start back to school. But I promise you that we will take the data that's in and make our decision based on what's right for the children and teachers of South Carolina. And I'm guessing that would be done surely sometime mid-April, if not sooner. Mm-hmm.
And Superintendent, you were talking earlier about 20% of students or teachers are using pencils and paper to do their schoolwork like sometimes that they are in the classroom itself. Is that because they have limitations of technology in the areas of the state? Or, even people with technology, I'm wondering if they've also been experiencing issues with bandwidth, for Wi-Fi, for example?
Sure. Well, a combination of all of that. I believe that folks are assessing. I know I've been on the phone this morning with several districts who are realizing they may be a very large district, but may have 15-20% of their kids that they're not able to do instruction online. So they're looking at what that would cost. To buy that hard drive, to buy the equipment, to get it up and running. Some of them are considering using their federal stimulus money for that. So I believe as we move through this, we will be in better shape. We'll be more ready for this in the future. And technology has proved so powerful in delivering instruction that I think we have to make a commitment as a state to correct this and make sure that all of our students, every student, no matter where they live, will have this type of quality instruction in an emergency situation.
And just to wrap up really quick, what's your advice right now to parents who, again, are now teachers on the front line helping their children get through this?
My advice is to try and enjoy it. I know it has to be stressful, but look at this as a time for your family to be together. and for you to learn and grow together. We're trying to back off of some of the required minutes. We realize that may have been overly anticipated or too high of expectation there. So relax, enjoy this time with your students. It's more important for you to be emotionally happy right now, physically well, emotionally well. The academics will come. That's not the top priority. It is a priority, but enjoy this time with your students and try to just take a deep breath and do the best you can.
Great. Thank you very much, Superintendent Spearman.
My pleasure.
You can watch our full interview on This Week in South Carolina, which airs on SCETV Friday at 7:30 p.m., Sunday at 11:30 a.m., and online at scetv.org/TWISC. So far, we have more than 30 deaths in our state, and nearly all of them were elderly people with underlying health conditions. Now, DHEC defines elderly as people over the age of 60. As you know, South Carolina is not one of the healthiest states, and older people and those with underlying health conditions are more susceptible to COVID-19 complications, which can lead to death. Again, young people are not impervious. They can still contract COVID-19 and experience acute symptoms. But it's especially dire for those older with conditions, which makes South Carolina a ripe target. According to QuoteWizard, part of LendingTree.com, South Carolina has the 15th highest rate of seniors with underlying health conditions. Their team analyzed CDC data to find which states had the highest prevalence of seniors with serious underlying medical conditions, which include diabetes, cardiovascular disease, COPD, and asthma. The South Carolina Nurses Association sent Governor McMaster a letter this week telling him that nurses are facing inappropriate levels of personal protective equipment, or PPE. They also have to reuse PPE, there's inadequate staffing, and there are rapidly changing protocols. Nurses Association President Kelly Boothelet said before COVID-19, the state was projected to have the fourth worst nursing shortage in the country. The fear is that long hours, inadequate PPE, and lack of support will lead to nurses becoming infected themselves and straining the situation further. Again, another example of why you need to stay home. Read that letter. Listen to what's happening. Help a nurse. Help a doctor. Help your fellow South Carolinians. Stay home and socially distance if you have to go out. Now, this is our wind-down section where we want to hear from you. Tell us what's going on in your world. Do you still have to go to work? Are you a medical professional on the front lines of this pandemic? How are you handling self-isolation? Tell us at 803-563-7169. This is our new normal, folks, and we're all in this together. So leave us a message at 803-563-7169, and you might just get on the pod. All right, let's check out the machine. What do we have?
Gavin, we didn't get any voicemails.
What?
Calm down.
What?
Calm down. Hey, pop, 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 pop.
I have heard from some people on Twitter, so I appreciate that.
Just please call us.
Call. I mean, it's like getting mail these days, you know? I want to hear you.
I can guarantee you, if you call, you'll get on.
Tell us what you think. Yeah, if you call, we'll let you on. We'll let you say whatever you want.
You can say anything.
We'll bleep you out. We'll bleep the whole thing out if we have to.
I mean, I like bleeps. I like to bleep.
Yeah, well, you can tell us about Tiger King. And here's some Tiger King news just to kick off our discussion.
Oh, yeah.
Since you guys didn't call, you're going to hear me and AT talk a little bit longer. So Tiger King news is now, I'm officially declaring this, our new Florida Man headline news.
Yep.
So big updates here. Joe Exotic has COVID-19.
Ooh.
He's been transferred in prison facilities. Meghan McCain has called for his pardon. She was listening to what you were saying.
She listened to the pod, obviously.
Cardi B wants a GoFundMe for Joe.
Coronavirus!
And Chad Cronister, the sheriff of Hillsborough County, Florida, is seeking new leads on the disappearance of Carol Baskin's first husband, Jack Lewis.
Ooh.
Remember Lewis? He ran that big cat sanctuary in Tampa before he disappeared 23
yeah.
years ago.
Yeah, it's sketchy.
A lot going on, folks.
I'd also like to point out that, Gavin, if you and I both, we pool our $1,200 checks, we could get a lead tiger.
Yeah,
we could afford one.
We could just get a cub, right? I mean, they stay small for a while.
I can't believe that some of my friends bought like $3,000 purebred dogs. I was like, you could get a tiger. I was like, what are you paying so much for a dog for?
You can't keep a tiger for so long. I mean, take it from me. I had an alligator, and it's outgrown the bathtub.
You flush it down the toilet?
That's right. Lord knows I tried.
No, I tried. Broke five toilets.
Just dropped it off.
Okay, so what have you been doing, Gavin? What have you been doing in your free time, in your quarantine time?
Basically just cultivating the best Tiger King memes I can find.
I mean, we're trying hard.
And besides working, you know, and also trying to push off when I start drinking wine. Again, like I said earlier, you know, you got to do some physical activity before you reward yourself with your drink. That's your thing.
I'm getting depressed about all the older musicians that I like dying right now. So I've been listening to like Bill Withers and the Marsalises and stuff like that. And I just like to say, go on record, that we need to keep Herbie Hancock and Stevie Wonder safe. Okay? Mm-hmm. Don't let them outside. Keep them quarantined.
Even more reason for you to stay home, because you don't even know how your butterfly effect of you going out
exactly
might
right.
affect.
You, I am not that many steps away from Herbie Hancock, so, I mean, got to keep them safe.
Butterfly effect.
Mm-hmm. Ashton Kutcher.
Watch the movie if you haven't already.
Watch the movie. It explains it all.
Well, thanks for tuning into the pod. We know it's crazy times right now, but we want to hear from you, keep you updated, and that's what we're trying to do. You get the latest on SCETV.org, SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org, and also don't forget to support your local newspapers. And make sure you subscribe to us and tell your friends about The Lead, because we're doing this for you. And now, again, once you get your fill of news, take a break from it. Go outside, take a walk. We're still allowed to do that, people. Get it while you can. You can also follow me on Twitter, at Gavin Jackson, for the latest. I'll also let you know if the governor is holding a press conference, which is always carried on SCETV and South Carolina Public Radio platforms. This usually occurs around 4:30 on the day that he has it. I'm going to go to one right now. We are here for you, our lead community, throughout this pandemic, and as this situation continues to develop, we are in full-scale hashtag lead laugh love mode together. Also, check out our Instagram and social media for some light moments. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina. Give me a call.